There are many accounts in the Bible where people react with astonishment. You think of examples in the Old Testament, like Elijah, you know, the works of Elijah, that really impressed people. But by far, most of the astonished reactions come from the Gospels, and they come from people's observation of things Jesus did. By far, most come from people seeing Jesus do a miracle, and then they're just utterly astonished or amazed or awestruck. Today's gospel is another one. He tells a paralyzed man, get up, pick up your stretcher, go home. And the guy gets up, picks up his stretcher, and goes home. And people, they just don't know what to do with that. How do you figure out what happened? So we saw this kind of reaction on Sunday when Jesus told the little girl to get up. She was dead. Little girl, get up. She got up. And most of the people didn't see it. But those who saw it were utterly astounded. We saw it again the other day when we read the passage about Jesus sleeping in the boat, and then they wake him up. He says, be still, and the wind dies down, and the waves calm down. And everybody in the boat is astounded. Who is this? What kind of person are we here with here? You see, that's the right reaction. What in the world? There's no way, we don't have any categories for understanding this sort of thing. Nobody can do this. So that's right. Jesus is, well, he looks like an ordinary man, a carpenter from Nazareth. He walks around, he eats, he sleeps, just like anybody else. But he also says things that only God could say. Okay. Well, today we have another double miracle. We had a double miracle on Sunday, right? Not only the raising of the daughter of Jairus, but also the healing of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Two miracles put together. Here we have another double, but this one is actually more astounding spiritually, less impressive from the standpoint of human perspective. Why? Because this double miracle, what is a physical healing of a paralyzed man, which is astounding to them, and a spiritual healing, that is the forgiveness of his sins, which doesn't provoke the same reaction. But that's the first thing Jesus does for the man. Child, courage, child, your sins are forgiven. The reaction of the scribes is, that's just plain blasphemy. That's something to astonish us. That's something to scandalize us, because only God can forgive sins. So you see the different levels here. What Jesus does is absolutely astounding. And when we see astounding things, yes, we're astonished. But we don't see the spiritual life very well. We don't see the burden, the crippling condition of sin very well. And so we don't recognize how amazing it is to be set free from sin. We have a kind of dullness to this. Although, I'm sure, when you've gone to confession, if you've had serious sins or a lot of sins, and you really feel burdened or even paralyzed, you go to confession and you are set free, you realize this is astounding. To be set free from sin is an astounding gift. What we see here is that Jesus is doing more than anyone can recognize or understand. Yes, he's doing astounding things like calming storms and raising people and curing people. But he has come to do more. He has come to reconcile us with the Father, to set us free from sin. A kind of healing that only God can do. Let's think about this paralytic for a moment. He's obviously in a terrible physical condition. And anyone looking at him, and especially the people who are carrying him, think that what this man needs is healing, physical healing. He's paralyzed. That's not what Jesus sees. That's not what Jesus sees. And look at what this gospel points out to us. Now, in Matthew's version, he skips the business about lowering the man through the roof and all that. Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel talk about opening a hole in the roof. But in Matthew's gospel, he said, that's not the important part. The important part is what Jesus sees and what Jesus does. And this is what it says here. The first thing Jesus sees is their faith, meaning the faith of those carrying the paralytic. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." So the perception of the faith of the others leads to the healing, spiritual healing of the man. Now, he must also have seen the spiritual condition of the paralytic, which no one else could see. Was he such a sinner that that's his great need? Yes. Because that's the condition of all of us. Even if we're in perfectly good physical health, we are in desperate need of spiritual healing. All of us. Who knows? Maybe this paralytic was deeply aware of his own sins. Maybe he had been blaspheming. Maybe he was angry, resentful. Maybe he was blaming. Maybe he was in self-pity. There's a lot of sins that could be crippling this man spiritually. Was he even hoping that he could be set free from sin? Maybe he was, because that's what Jesus sees when he looks at the man. Here's a man who really needs mercy. We don't know. We don't hear one word from this paralytic. We don't know anything about him other than that he was paralyzed and that he was set free from sin and then he was cured. That's all we know. But we can imagine what was going on inside. I'm in a terrible condition. And he may have done what many people do. He may have connected his physical condition to his own sins. A lot of people do this. Oh, I'm suffering this because of my sins. God is punishing me because of my sins. This happened to me because I did something bad when I was a child, or whatever. People make this kind of connection all the time. It's usually wrong, but because there's not usually clear connections between our personal sins and our personal sufferings. Usually, sometimes there is. But in the bigger picture, yes, there's a big connection between sin and suffering. That's the reason why there's suffering in the world, because of sin. Not necessarily each person's sin getting his own suffering, but we are all messing this thing up all the time, and we've been doing it for a long time. That's why we need Jesus. Okay, so whatever that was going on in the man's mind, Jesus sees the need, and he also sees this is an opportunity to reveal to everybody what I'm here to do. I'm not simply here to be a miraculous healer. I'm here to save people. I'm here to give them eternal life. So that's what he reveals. Then they say to themselves, not out loud, this man is blaspheming. And it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. See, this is what stands out in this version of the healing of the paralytic. The what Jesus sees is far more and far beyond what everybody else sees. He knows what they're thinking. They're harboring evil thoughts. They're judging him. It's important to ponder what Jesus sees, what Jesus thinks about, what Jesus is doing, because we are, simply by the limitations of being human, we only see a little bit. We don't see the whole picture. You know, the very common symbol for this is the very big, beautiful, complex tapestry. It's very beautiful, all these woven colored threads and the beautiful, but we only see the part underneath, and we only see a little bit of what's underneath. So we see a bunch of knots, a bunch of loose threads, strings, and an ugly mess for the most part. We don't see at all what God sees. But if we have faith, we say, well, I know that God sees more and God is doing more. God is even using the suffering of others to move us. God uses us to touch others. Because, after all, who's carrying around the paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed people of the world? People of faith. That paralytic couldn't come to Jesus. He was paralyzed. A lot of people can't, they don't even think of it. They don't even know how dead they are. Who's helping them? People of faith. So when we pray for peace in the world, when we pray for healing, when we pray for reconciliation, when we pray God's will be done, we're carrying a paralyzed world and laying the world at the feet of Jesus. That's what's going on. Now, we don't see it that way most of the time, but a gospel like this helps us understand it. It also helps us be moved to astonishment. Yes, we live our ordinary lives, we do ordinary things, today's an ordinary day. But God is at work, hard at work, reconciling, saving, healing, restoring, glorifying. He's doing extraordinary things, and he's giving us an opportunity to be a part of his work. And we should be astounded at that, amazed. And we should be glorifying God. This is what they do at the end. The crowd saw this, they were struck with awe, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Well, God has given us authority, shared with us his own authority. Jesus, we are his body on earth, and we do a work of reconciling and healing and saving and forgiving, if we're willing to participate. So, this a gospel like this, which might be familiar, has so much more to teach us because it opens our eyes to what God is doing, what Jesus sees. And when we have even a glimpse of that, it's quite astonishing. It's amazing to us. And we glorify God for his work in us and through us.